If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Chicago Bulls got hit with another major injury yesterday. And while we had a breaking news episode on that, on today's episode, I want to ask this question. Is the Bulls season possibly being derailed by injuries before it even really gets a chance to start? We'll talk a little bit about that, plus an update to Coby White's injury status. And it's Sunday. That means we're diving into the mailbag. All that and more right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. I'm the host there, Hayes, but more importantly, you guys can follow the channel at Bulls Central Pod on every social media platform we happen to be on. With that said, let's go ahead and get into this content for today, y'all. And the Chicago Bulls, they got hit with another injury yesterday. Zach Collins had a wrist injury. He had successful wrist surgery, actually, yesterday. And he's going to be out, reevaluated in 4 weeks. It could mean that he's out 4 weeks. Could mean that once they reevaluate him, there's actually more of a ramp-up period, and he's still not ready to go for a little while. So, you know, we'll see what the return time is for Zach Collins. But when you look at it, the Bulls have already been hit with a number of injuries before the season even gets a chance to start. You got Coby with his calf, did not play all of preseason. We got an update on him we'll get into. Zach Collins with the wrist. Josh Giddey with the ankle injury, which he did play in all 5 preseason games, but that was there. I don't know if we ever even found out if it was the same ankle that he had hurt at the beginning of last season. Not that that necessarily matters, because I think he fully healed from that one, but this would be something interesting to watch if there's like reoccurring things with that same ankle. But on top of those players, we've had players that already missed time with injury, and Ayo, Okoro, Trey Jones, Julian, Dalen Smith, all those guys, right? Like Dalen Terry, all those guys. We've already had Yuki Carmore was waived because of a season-ending injury. So, you know, one thing with a team, and we're seeing it a little bit with the Chicago Bears as well, is that you see a team that just, as a team, never quite catches their momentum because of the number of injuries. And it's just concerning because, you know, especially Collins is a major part to this team. Not to say that Jalen Smith can't step in for the first month of the season and give the Bulls some good production. He can. He's capable of that. And I hope he does show it. I hope he takes advantage of this opportunity to do that. But, you know, with Coby already not having a preseason and having to ramp up during the season, and you had those other guys out with some injuries, I just hope that it doesn't turn into anything major for this team where we're talking about yet another season that, hey, what if this guy was more healthy, right? And you're going to deal with injuries. In no way am I expecting, and I wouldn't even, you know, in any way, like, think the Bulls are ever going to have a completely injury-free season. The Bulls were actually a relatively healthy team last year. I think we had the second most players on any team play at least 70 games. But, you know, you just, as this team is still adapting and changing things, and especially at the start of the season, with which the start of this Chicago Bulls season is treacherous, right? The first month of the season is ridiculous for the Chicago Bulls. The number of projected playoff teams that we face between October 22nd and November 22nd is ridiculous, right? So, you know, that's something that you want this Bulls team to just get that rhythm and catch their footing as far as with injuries. But for every negative injury, there's a positive, or for every negative update, there is a positive one. Coby White, you know, per Casey Johnson, that Coby White is practicing with the Chicago Bulls this weekend. And, you know, he was getting shots up reportedly in practice and in training camp. But, you know, he was expected to play, in the last preseason game. They changed that because they didn't feel there was enough time to ramp him up. But it seems he was a full go in practice yesterday, which is really good. The Bulls do take the court on Wednesday. So if he's already being a full participant in practice, taking, you know, controlled contact is the way that they described it, that's going to be something that's really good to help get him in that rhythm, because Coby's an important piece to this team. And while I do think Modest, you know, looked like he's ready for a step up, you know, as well, could take on more of a scoring load if Coby isn't fully himself right away. You need Giddey and all those players to do it by committee. You want Coby White out there as early as possible, as long as he's cleared, right? As long as there's not a chance of re-aggravating anything. I commend the Bulls training staff for taking the view that they had with Coby White on, hey, calves can turn into some pretty serious injuries. We don't want that to happen, so we're just going to sit your ass, right? I'm not mad at that because preseason games, they don't matter, right? And you had other players that I think you needed to take an extended look at anyway, and there you go. Now, with that said, that you know the injuries that the Bulls have already faced are going to open up opportunity, and I'm excited to see at the start of the season who makes the most of now the kind of minutes gap that's going to be there with some of these players being banged up and things like that. So you're looking at players, I'm counting out players that we assume are going to be in the rotation, right? So Trey Jones is going to be in the rotation. Kevin Huerter, I don't see him falling out of the rotation, right? Zach Collins was one of those guys as well. And just by replacing him, I'm going to say Jalen Smith is going to now be in that spot. But like between Noah Essengay, could he find a more clear route to minutes now early? Keep in mind, the G League season doesn't start, I believe, until November. So you have those few weeks between the start of the NBA season and the G League season anyway. Does Noah Essengay earn some minutes? I don't expect a lot, but does he earn some minutes with the injuries and him really being the only other big we have on this roster, right? The closest thing to it, even though he's slight of frame, you know, talking about height and those type of things, he's the only other player that we have that offers any of that. So does he get in a little bit more? And then, of course, the players that we've talked about, Patrick Williams, Dalen Terry, Julian Phillips. How do these guys take advantage of the new opportunities that are now there for them to maybe get a little consistent minutes and show, hey, we're guys that can come in and crack this and give the Bulls some quality minutes here. And that's what you're hoping, right? Billy Donovan has talked very heavily about using a 10-man rotation. But I do think, and I think 10 is probably safe bet, especially with Collins out, because technically if you're using 10 guys with your backup center out, that's technically 11 guys, right? But I could see, like I said, spots where Julian and Dalen get in certain times and stuff like that. The minutes are going to be harder to come by, and those guys are going to have to really lock in and give the Bulls that. But, you know, we'll see how that shakes out for this team. But overall, that's really good. I think this team is doing the right things when it comes to that. But, you know, the Bulls have still some questions going into the season. And, you know, while I'm a more optimistic Bulls fan, you look at the start of that schedule for the Chicago Bulls, man, and that is a tough, tough schedule. And that's why, like, coming into the season, I believe the Bulls have the fourth toughest schedule, if I'm not mistaken. Hold on, let me see. We have the ninth toughest schedule in the NBA. Now, see, gotta check myself to make sure I'm not capping, right? The ninth hardest schedule in the NBA. And a lot of that is because of how this first month starts off for the Chicago Bulls. It's starting off rough. Then even when you look at the group that we're in the in-season tournament, that's going to be a tough group, right? So, you know, it's going to be a lot told over the first month of the season for the Bulls. And this is going to be important for us to just have the next man up, get those things. But I just hope that we are able to catch our footing with injuries and it doesn't turn into something that we're then just looking at this season and like, damn, it sucks that this got away from the Chicago Bulls so early on. You don't want that to happen. You want to avoid that when you can. The timeline for Zach Collins really isn't that bad overall as far as being 4 weeks. But I will say this, it's just a difficult 4-week stretch for the Bulls, which makes it like 4 weeks. Him missing 4 weeks is neither here nor there. It's not a huge amount of games to where you're looking at it like it should kill your season. But when you pair that in with the opponents that we face, let's just go over it. So just in that first month from October 22nd to November 22nd, these are the teams that we face that are either projected to make the playoffs this year or in the playoffs last year: Detroit, Orlando, Atlanta, two games against New York, Philly and Milwaukee, they're on the borderline, right? Like, but those are tough teams, right? Milwaukee is, I think, expected to be a playoff team. So, but let's say Milwaukee there. Then you still got Cleveland, San Antonio, maybe another game against Detroit. Utah is the easier game right there. But they're not going to be tanking early on. You got Denver, Portland, who's going to be trying to compete this year, Miami, and Washington, right? So when you look at that, the easiest games on that schedule projected are maybe Utah and in Washington. Other than that, even Philly and Milwaukee, with Joel Embiid being back, Philly, that's going to be tough. Any team with Giannis Antetokounmpo and Miles Turner is going to give the Bulls some fits, right? It's going to be a tough matchup. So the Bulls just, they don't have an easy go of it. And you got to lock in. And you got to have the next. So this opportunity that you had in preseason to show and play hard, and this thing that we've heard Billy Donovan talk about as far as, like, we just got this solid team that, you know, he feels comfortable going deep if you need to, like, we need to see that this season. And all these guys are going to have an opportunity to bring it. So we have 16 games. It's 16 games that Zach Collins is going to miss if it's the full 4 weeks. It can be more than that, right? 16 games is a large chunk of the season. You know, make no mistake about it. It's what, basically a fifth of your season, something like that. I'm not doing math this early. I'm recording this at 6 a.m. Chicago time. So, you know, that's still a nice chunk, and it's made more difficult by the teams that you face in that chunk, right? So we'll see. But, you know, looking at it early on, Io, Modest, these are the two hottest players that played for us and had the best run in preseason. It was Io, it was Modest. Those are the two that were the most consistent and good when they were on the court. And you need those two guys, right? Josh Giddey came on more late, and you know, he played Josh Giddey-type basketball. I saw somebody point out, the turnover, assist-to-turnover ratio, that's going to be there for him. It just is what it is, right? That's just part of the Josh Giddey experience. So this team has to lock in. And I think just overall, you know, I want to see a team that uses the start of the season as a primer to really I think they have chemistry, but to build off that chemistry and to use the added physicality and stuff, because they are going to need it. And against a team like New York, especially with them being on a schedule twice, even Orlando, like the double bigs thing was going to be something that I looked forward to in that game. And I just don't know if we're going to see it now as consistently. But you know, overall, we'll see what the Bulls got shaken. But injuries are a thing that every team has to deal with to some degree. And let's see how the Bulls deal with it coming into this season. Because like I said before, ain't nobody giving you nothing easy. This season, nobody's giving you nothing easy. So let's see what that identity that the Bulls have been talking about so much. Do we actually see that? And hey, the Bulls right now have the eighth youngest roster heading into the season. You take Vooch off the roster, even replace him with a more league average age player, the Bulls are like the second or third youngest team in the league. But that ain't nobody gonna give you no win credits for that. Go out there and figure it out. But it is Sunday. Let's go ahead and get into the mailbag for today, man. We got four voicemails we're going to get into. This first one is from the AI kid.
Yo, what up, Hayes? This AI kid. Hey, I wanted to point out, I like Phillip's play against the Wolves. I see where it separates him from Terry, separates Terry and P. Will now. And I agree Terry trying to make a name out for himself as far as being an enforcer. But is it too late for him? I don't know. What is the line of a good defender someone hates versus a good defender someone fears? You know, when enforcers come with flagrants and bad rep, looking at the history like Dylan Brooks, Pat Bev, or DeMarcus Cousins, you know, they give off Damon from Creed 3. You know, they good at what they do, but they got to finesse they way to the top. You know what I'm saying? But what separates them from the Thompson twins or Jaylen Brown or Jaden McDaniels? No true skill. And Terry needs that one true skill to hang his head on. And it can't be passing, you know. Our system is already set up to pass. He needs to work on a step back or his athleticism. I want to see him live above the rim more, you know. But we talk about our slow starts, but what does it say about our chemistry rolling over? Is it fair to say it didn't? Or does Kobe come back and we get a true visual? How deep our season? How deep do we go until we realistically make that trade, you know? But, you know, let me know. Let me know y'all thoughts, bro.
Hey, you got to pick a better name, because people are going to really think that these voicemails are AI, because people just, you know, they're people, right? But here's what I'll say. I say it's never too late for a player to develop, especially if they are a defensive-focused player. I think sometimes those players come on more late anyway, right? Now, the question is the time up for Daylen? Question really is the time up on this team for Daylen? And that's where the question is going to have to end at. Now, I don't think Daylen Terry is going to have some crazy market in free agency either, where I do think the Bulls are going to have the option like to keep Daylen as a back end of the bench player. I don't think he's going to break your bank to keep Daylen. And he's still young, still has some time to show some things. So I wouldn't be surprised if Daylen's back. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Bulls look at it and say, listen, we got to find players that are more ready to go. So we'll see. But Daylen Terry we've seen that potential of him being truly a disruptive defender. But you know the difference between Daylen and P. Will from the players that you mentioned as far as defenders? The consistency that they bring it, especially if you're talking about the Thompson twins, right? They bring it consistently night in and night out and guard multiple positions. Now, Daylen hasn't always played a lot of minutes, but I think if Daylon is going to want to be looked at as that defensive guy to where you're not really concerned about the lack of shooting sometimes from him, he's going to have to go out there and truly lock some motherfuckers up. And I'm not saying a night in, night out lockdown defender, but I think he's going to have to do that at a decent rate, right? So I don't think that we, and as far as Kobe's injury, I don't think we can say we've seen the best version of this team yet. And we can even say a ceiling until we see what that backcourt of Kobe White and Josh Giddey look like to start a season, not just on a hot stretch, but over the entirety of a season. And, you know, we'll see. And especially with the way that this season starts, we're going to see it very fast. All right, let's get into this next voicemail, man. This one's from Rhett.
Hayes, I hope you're feeling better by the time you play this. You notice that your voice sounds a lot like mine, except yours will get better and mine won't. Anyway, I have a what is more likely question. When Kobe comes back and takes his 16 to 20 shots a game, is it most likely that he's going to help the team win more games, or is it more likely he's going to manage this chance to score 20 points a game? I think this is something that is wide open until we see them together. I was just wondering what your thoughts are. Have a good day. Rack from Palos Hills, out.
First of all, I feel fine. Even when my voice, like, it sounds like I'm in pain, but I'm really not in pain at all. Like, it just happens, like, at the start of the season, I do, especially with bear season overlapping, I'm doing so many videos. Like, I think last week, I did 17 videos on Bull Central alone. Probably another 8 on Bear Central. So, that's a lot. And then that's not even counting NBA Central and Locked On Bulls, right? So, we did a lot of content last week. And at the start of the season, like, when bear season's going on and bull season, at the start of them overlapping during the preseason, I lose my voice every single year. It comes with the terror. You would think I would prepare for it more. But I do feel like it's more likely that he'll help us win more with the offense. Like, I get it that this offense isn't built for Matas Buzelis to get 20. I understand why people want to see that, right? But so much of the ball handling is still going to be done by Kobe White and Josh Giddey. Now, the benefit of it is both those guys are willing passers on drives, both Josh Giddey and Kobe White. Josh Giddey is one of the best passers in the NBA. So if Modest moves around, there are going to be those opportunities for him. And I think with the increased efficiency we've seen him shoot it with as well, that's going to be there. So if Kobe comes in, I'm not worried about him hurting Modest getting 20. I'm looking at a lot of things for Modest, how he grows defensively. I don't need Modest to average 20 in year two. I'm cool with him averaging 15, right? So it's about what you do within the framework of the offense. And so, you know, you're going to have to do that. But I'll say this as well. Kobe has played with players that averaged over 20 before. He's played with Zach LaVine. He's played with DeMar DeRozan. Like, his breakout season, you know, in that 2022-23 season, right? His last year. No, 23-24 season. No, whatever season it was. When Zach was out at the end of the year, that came with DeMar DeRozan. Remember, and DeMar was still scoring his points. Vooch was still getting his. So Kobe, it's not that players can't score around Kobe. Kobe has the type of game where, because he is a better passer off drives, there's still going to be that opportunity there. So I don't think Kobe hurts Modest's development at all, personally. But all right, let's get into this next one, man. This one's from Reggie.
What's up, Hayes? This is Reginald, and I'm just calling after hearing you talk about a possible trade with Nick Claxton coming to the board for a Vooch and Portland Star. If Vooch played the same way he did, you know, against the Bucks for the whole year, I would agree with that deal, but I think that's just a one-off. And I also believe that Portland might be better than a lot of folks think. I think they could possibly slide into that number 8 spot, win a play-in game. And if that's the case, I don't think they get out the first round, but I think they'll likely get the 15th or 16th pick. And at that spot, there are younger centers available who may or may not fit the Bulls' direction. And while I'm hoping that the Bulls also make the playoffs, not the play-in, I don't see them getting out of the first round either. So we might be looking at a draft where the Bulls have the 15th and 16th overall pick. And I'm thinking maybe, you know, one guy I like is Yata Limbord, who I think is with Michigan now. And then there's other guy by the name of, he's with the Illinois, Thomas Ajima or something like that. So I don't want to mess up his name. But you can, you know, those are two guys who you can draft with the 15th and 16th pick. I mean, do you really need that Claxton? I also not saying let Bruce walk, but I'm not going to pay a team a potential first round pick just to take him off my hands. Now, if this was Patrick Williams, that'd be a different story. I said, hey, you could have P. Will and Javon Carter and that Portland pick for Nick Claxton. I'd make that deal in a heartbeat. But I don't think anyone's going to do that. So, for now, keep Vooch until a decent offer is presented. And for Nick Claxton, I like him, but when I saw his free throw shooting percentage at like 56 or 60% for his whole career, that tells me he hasn't been working on his game hard enough. He hasn't shown enough improvement. And free throws are important. But what's your opinion? Thanks.
So I'll say this, right? I'm gonna give it that Vooch plays better in the regular season than Vooch did in the preseason. He played bad in the preseason, right? So I'm not gonna give up a first for Nikola Vucevic, to move Nikola Vucevic. So you're right in that. I'm not going to give up a first-round pick just so we can come off that contract when he's expiring anyway. Now, if it comes to players like Claxton and Walker Kessler and Jalen Duren, those are absolutely players that I'd be willing to give up a first-round pick for, especially if it's the Portland pick, because that's the type of player you're trying to find to with those picks anyway. Like, that is the next position of attack for this Bulls team, you know, in theory, right? Because if Kobe ends up walking or something, then they may look for guards, right? But the next position is center. And if you can find a guy that you already have seen what he can do at the NBA level and still fits your timeline age-wise, well, the Bulls messed up in getting Vooch and DeMar's, that they gave up first-round picks for players that were, Vooch was 1 year away from being 30, DeMar was well over 30, right? If you give up a first-round pick for a player that's 25, 26, and you can lock them into a long-term contract, I'm more open to do that because that you're looking for somebody that has that skill set anyway, right? So that's why I'd be willing to give up a first-round pick for, like, Nick Claxton. I'd be willing to give up a first for that. Like I said, especially if it's the Portland pick, you can take that motherfucker. Give me Claxton. So, you know, we'll see what happens. And I think people have to look at that as well. Like, as many people ask, why is Vooch still on this team? Because, A, nobody wants him, and if we probably had to give up, we'd probably have to give up an asset to get off of him. That's what I'm looking at. And, you know, it is what it is. We'll see what the Bulls can do. All right, let's get into this last voicemail, man. This one is from Shay.
Look, what's up, Hayes? It's Shay. Look, I'm going to have to say something to all y'all Bulls fans that's tripping over certain players because they don't do a certain thing that you want. Whether it be Vooch with his defense or whether it be Isaac Okoro with his offense. Look, I understand y'all tripping over Patrick Williams for being passive. And that's understandable, but when y'all sit up here and say, oh, Isaac Okoro isn't giving me much on offense, or Vooch ain't giving me much on defense, well, let's think about it for a second, y'all. They weren't a player like Isaac Okoro. Well, we already know Vooch is bad defense. All right, cool, whatever. But players like Isaac Okoro are good for this starting lineup because, let's face it, we ain't got that much defense outside of Modest, who tries his best to play defense, and let's be honest, until we get that Memphis take the center, or Trey Vucevic and then start Zach Collins, which, honestly, if you look at that last game that we played against the Cleveland Cavaliers, we looked a little bit better and more energetic on the defensive end with him in the starting lineup compared to Vooch. Look, we're going to have to do with Isaac Okoro, and I know what people are going to say, oh, start Io, this and that, and blah, 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 blah. But let's think about it. This lineup is not great defensively. Now, I'm not saying that should give them an excuse to play bad offensively, but damn, y'all, shit, we already averaged like 100 points last year. And a lot of times we had trouble getting key stops. And the fact that we have a player that can get key stops, especially on perimeter, which we, I hate to say it, as a whole, besides Ayo and Okoro, and maybe Patrick Williams, struggle at defending. I suggest y'all just take Isaac Okoro for what he is. Now, look, I'm not saying he's a star. I'm not saying he should get any special treatment, but damn, we already have guys in the lineup that could score about 18 to 20 points. What else do y'all freaking want? Anyway, hey, tell me what you think. Please.
You know, it's a lot of fans that, I'll say this, it's understandable, but that don't understand the concept of having such a one-sided specialist on your team and in your starting lineup, right? Most fans have the thing of, let's start the five guys who's giving the best stats, right? And that's who should start. And like I said, in their defense, though, I understand it, especially when you see a player like Isaac Okoro not shoot the ball well, right? So I see those things, especially with the way that he shot in preseason compared to how Ayo plays. But I think it's something that people have to realize, who starts and who finishes can be very different, right? And that's kind of the more important thing, especially in the modern NBA. And even if Okoro does start, it's because that his one-dimensional impact helps those starters not get off to such a slow start, whereas Ayo can come off the bench and give that two-way play, right? But and a lot of fans also don't see the little things, right, that Isaac Okoro does. If it's not on the box score, they're not really going to understand it because, and I don't say that as a knock, everybody ain't got time to dive into advanced analytics like I like to do. Like, I can tell you, Isaac Okoro guards players, and the players that he guards shoot almost 5% worse on one-on-one matchups. That's huge. That's not common, right? But at the same time, with that, you know, most people don't have time to dive into that. So they're going off just what they see in the game. And if they see Isaac Okoro miss 4 wide-open shots in the game and the things that he does in defense don't really show up on the stat sheet, they're going to say, why is he starting? But I think overall, like, Billy Donovan has to make the best decision for the ebbs and flows and what fits together as a team. And even if Okoro is starting, it doesn't mean he's going to finish. And as long as that finishing lineup gets us where we need to go and we can avoid slow starts, then I'm okay with it, right? And like I said, not everybody understands the benefit of having such a one-dimensional specialist on a team. And I can't knock them for that. So, but you guys can let me know how you feel on it down below. Make sure you guys are following us at Bull Central Pod. If you send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. Lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We are the number one spot for everything basketball related, everything Chicago Bulls related, I should say. And like I liked in every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.